Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all here today at the river. So good. Can we have some house lights for everybody here today so I can see who's here? See if you're in church. You are in church. All right. Awesome, awesome. Isn't that great worship?
Yes.
Just so free, so nice. Be in the house of the Lord, worshiping as one body. Amen?
Amen?
I hope you guys are more awake than the first service was. First service was kind of sleepy this morning or something. I don't know if it was a Easter hangover or what, but did you eat too many Cadbury eggs or... No, you didn't like those? I like Cadbury eggs. Anything chocolate?
Yes.
You know? I look for Easter to come around just for robin's eggs, you know. I could get hangover on those right there. We are starting a new series, but before I get into that, I just want to make an announcement about if you were here last week, one thing I need to tell you is last weekend, we had an amazing three services. We had over 60 people make a decision to come alive in Christ. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Good stuff. Come on. To God be the glory. That is what it's all about, folks, right there. You know, leading people to the kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen.
And so that's really cool. I was just thinking about this. I talked about it a little bit this week in staff. We've had 5 years. This May will be 5 years that Kim and I have been the lead pastors here. And in 5 years, we've had over 500 salvations in 5 years. Isn't that awesome? It's good stuff. Right here in this building. It's really good, and that's what God desires more than anything else. I was talking with a pastor friend of mine a few weeks ago, and he was just, Bill, this is amazing what God's doing in your church, what's happening there. He said, I know someone that I've been talking to, and we were talking and saying, when was the last time somebody got saved in our church? When was the last time we saw healing? And folks, aren't you thankful that we don't have to say that? Amen? We see it all the time, every week. People getting set free, getting healed. Just this morning, so many people got set free this morning, received healing. Not just physical healing. Physical healing, yes, obviously, we see a lot of miracles take place here. But not just physical, but emotional, mental, right? Relational healing. Relationships are being healed here. Marriages are being restored. That's important. You know, we're seeing that happen. We're seeing people set free from suicidal thoughts and depressed minds. Listen, that is not something you have to live with.
Amen.
Y'all need to wake up this morning. I said, you don't have to live with that stuff.
Amen.
That's garbage from the enemy. You do not have to live with depression or fear.
Amen.
The enemy works through fear and intimidation. I've said it once. I've said it 1,000 times here. We don't have to live with that. We have authority over the works of the enemy. Yes, Jesus. I'm just going to be my own cheerleader this morning. Yes, Jesus. All right. So here's what I'm going to do this morning. I really feel led to skip some things this morning from the first message this morning, and that's what I'm going to do. So you know how we roll around here, right? So it's just usually different in every service, and that's what we're going to do this morning. Just feel like this is what the Holy Spirit's saying. So I want you to go back and listen to the 9 a.m. service sometime this week. How many of you will do that? Just take a few moments. Just the message, okay? I want you to do that because there's some meat in here that you need to hear about the Trinity because we're in this new series called God. Put it up there.
Amen.
Oh, I didn't even get to that, did I? New series called God. Cool graphic. And we're going to be talking this morning about the Trinity. Okay, I want to set the groundwork for what this whole series. And then next week, I'm going to talk about God the Father. Week 3, Stephen is going to be speaking. He's going to be talking about God the Son. And then Kim's coming, God the Holy Spirit, in week 4 to wrap it up, okay? So, but before I get to that, I need to tell you about this jumpstart. I started down that road, and I got sidetracked by a bunny trail. We are doing this jumpstart class starting Wednesday night. Ethan Bricker, our teaching pastor, will be leading this class. It's a 4-week class. So if you were here last week and you made a decision to come alive in Christ, or if you've been coming here a long time, or you've been a believer for 40, 50, 60, 80 years, and you just feel like you've never really got that jump start that you needed, you can come to this class, okay? It's for new believers, But if you're not just a new believer, but you feel like you need some of that foundational teaching, come to this class, okay? Starts this Wednesday night, and we want to help you along on this journey that you've decided to make with Christ, okay? It's going to be a good class. Ethan's a great teacher. You'll love him. All right. So this series, Trinity, is what I'm going to talk about today. God, the Trinity, okay? So I'm going to give you some foundational scriptures. Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make humankind in our image in the likeness of ourselves. Let us make humankind in our image in the likeness of ourselves. Three times in this scripture, he's talking about us and our. He's talking to the Trinity, okay? Three times in this scripture, God the Father is talking to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, say it with me, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, okay? 2 Corinthians 13:14, this is Peter writing this, and he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Here again we see the Trinity, okay? And then I love this scripture, Luke 1:35. And again, it shows the Trinity. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High, that's Elyon, okay, is what that word Most High is. That's Elyon, a name for God, will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. So here we see the angel of the Lord speaking to Mary, telling her what's about to happen, and he's talking about the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay. So, the doctrine of the Trinity is foundational to the Christian faith, right? It's foundational. We have to understand it. We have to believe it. We have to know it because it's foundational. There's a lot of bad teaching out there, a lot of bad theology that would try to lead us astray from this teaching, from this truth. The Trinity is important for us to understand, okay? It's crucial for properly understanding what God is like and how he relates to us and how we should relate to him. But it also raises many difficult questions. Now, those are the things I'm not going to get into real deep today, okay? I want you to go back and watch the 9 a.m. service and get into that, okay? But I'm going to give you a couple things. You need to understand that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are distinct persons. Amen? Amen. The Bible speaks of the Father as God in Philippians 1:2, Jesus as God in Titus 2:13, and the Holy Spirit as God in Acts 5:3 and 4. Now, the question would be, are these just three different ways of looking at God or simply ways of referring to three different roles that God plays? And the answer is no. God is three. God, Father, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three distinct persons, okay? And you need to understand that. And let me give you another thing here, and then I'm going to move on to really what I want to spend the next few minutes on this morning. You need to understand that the personhood of each member of the Trinity means that each person has a distinct center of consciousness. Okay? Each one is distinct. Okay? For instance, when Jesus came to the earth, when he was here on the earth, and John the Baptist was baptizing him, in that scene that we see, in that what was taking place there, you see Jesus being baptized, you see God the Father speaking from heaven, right? And you see the Holy Spirit descending in the form of a dove, and Jesus coming up out of the water. Three distinct persons. Wow, that's good. God didn't come as Jesus, and then when Jesus went back to heaven, then God came as Holy Spirit. God the Father sent Jesus, and Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus as God was speaking about Jesus. The Trinity, three distinct persons in the Trinity. But they're all the same as far as their characteristics, as far as their traits, as far as their power. You need to understand that you know, God is not more powerful than Jesus and Jesus more powerful than Holy Spirit. They're all equally powerful. They have the same equal amount of power. Okay? There's no competition in heaven. First service. Well, come on, y'all. There's no competition in heaven. I would hand this to you to start waving it, but in the first service I did that and they started passing it all the way back. There's no competition. None. God the Father is not in competition with God the Holy Spirit. They're all one. They are three distinct persons, but they are one. How? Why? I mean, again, listen to the first service. Again, you're going to get more detail, but let me just give you this one thing about this, and then I'm going to move on to this competition thing. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all one because they all think alike. They have one mind. One mind. You understand? One mind. So let me give you what I want to get to today. The Trinity is the perfect representation of perfect unity. The Trinity is the perfect representation of perfect unity. 1 John 5, 6 through 8 says, Jesus Christ is the one who was revealed as God's Son by his water baptism and by the blood of his cross. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit, who is truth, confirms this with his testimony. So we have these three constant witnesses giving their evidence, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three are in agreement. Now, the word agreement is the Greek word heis. And the Greek word heis means one or unity. So what the scripture is saying here is that these three, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, are in unity. They are one. They give testimony, constant testimony, because they are one. They give constant testimony because they are in unity. There's no disagreement there. It's the same constant testimony about Christ. Then John 17, 21 through 23, Jesus says, I pray that they all will be one, that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. And as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. So that the world will what? So the world will believe that you sent me. Jesus is praying here, one of the final prayers that he prayed. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's pouring out everything to the Father. He's about to go to the cross. And what does he want more than anything? As he's about to go to this agony and this torture, to this death, what is he praying for more than anything? Unity. Father, make them one. Make them one. Why? So that the world will believe that you sent me. Do you know why most of the world doesn't believe? Because they're looking at the church. They're looking at the church. And what are they seeing from the church? I mean, come on, folks. I don't say this to try to be harsh or cruel. I'm trying to get down to the meat of what's going on here. I'm trying to get down to the crux of the problem. If we will identify the problem, God has the solution. But if we're just going to turn a blind eye and go, well, there's nothing wrong with the church. The church is operating just fine. Everything's going good. To God be the glory. Then we're never going to see the solution that God wants to implement. Listen, if the church is doing their job and they're doing the job so well, then why is the world in the condition it's in? I know. Just stick with me. It's going to get better. I promise. This is really supposed to be an encouraging message. Be encouraged. But I gotta lay the groundwork. I gotta get to this. I gotta identify the problem. Because Jesus prayed that they would be one. Why? Why does he want us to be one? So that the world will believe. If we are one, then we can accomplish anything. The world doesn't have to be in the condition it is. There are a lot of people, these doomsayers, that say, well, it's just the way it's going to be. This is just prophesied. It's going to happen. It has to happen because it's just, you read the Word of God, and the world's just going to hell in a handbasket, and it's going to keep going in that direction, and it has to. Nonsense. The world does not have to be this way. The world does not have to go in this direction. Oh, Pastor Bill, how do you know that? Well, I read the Word of God. I know the will of God. Man, come on, y'all. Do you know the will of God? In a couple of weeks, I'm excited about this series, but in a couple of weeks, we're going to start another series, and I'm excited about that one. So I'm excited about the series that we're starting after this series, but the series that we're about to do in 4 weeks is called Fake News. Yes. Fake news. Things the Bible doesn't say, but people believe it does say. And I get one of those weeks, all right? Some of our other pastors get the other three, but I get 1 week to speak in that series. I wanted all four, but we were fighting for it. And I get the one week, and I get to talk about if it's God's will. So a lot of people saying, well, I will if it's God's will. Well, I'll do this if it's God's will. Man, I'm going to preach that message right now if I get going. But here's the thing I want to say. You need to come back and hear the whole thing, but here's what I want to say about that. There's so many things in the Bible that we know are God's will. Let me ask you this. Is it God's will that everyone is saved?
Yes.
It's not a trick. The answer is yes. If you read the Word of God, you know. It's God's will that every person is saved. Every person on the face of the earth is saved. It's His will. It's His will. What does will mean? Desire. It's His desire. But is everyone saved? Will everyone be saved? Why? We have a choice. We have free will. It's His will, it's His desire that everyone be saved. It's His will. But we have a will and a desire also. We have a choice we can make, right? Yes. Yes. So I'm saying it's His will that we be in unity, that we all be one. Because if we were in unity, if we were all one, nothing could stop us. The world would not be in this condition if the church was one. Thank you, baby. Get your hanky out, baby. Get there you go. Wave that thing. Wave it. Yep, I got a couple back there. Get you all waving hankies. The world would not be in this condition. It doesn't have to be in this condition. Look at somebody. Say, the world doesn't have to be like this. It doesn't. But here's the hard part. Something has to change with us, with the church. Something has to change with us. Folks, I don't know if you know it, there's a problem in the church these days. Now, when I say the church, I'm talking about the church in general. Not the river, you know, just the river. I mean, do we need to change here? Yes, we do. You know how we talk around here. We want to lead the way, right? We believe God's given us something special here. He didn't entrust us with 500 new salvations in 5 years for nothing, folks. There's a burden of responsibility there for us. We have to steward that well, amen? So we have to change here. We have to change. We have to become one. But the biggest thing that prevents the church from becoming one is competition. Competition. I'm so sick of competition in the church. And I'm going to say this to you. I said it to the first service. I'm going to say it here. I'm not going to back off from what the Lord's leading me to say and Holy Spirit's working in me. I say this with love in my heart. But in all my years, 20 plus years of being a pastor, I've never seen competition in the church like I have in the Blue Water area. And it's sad to say. And I know there's some history here. I know some things that have been talked about, some history here in the Blue Water area that may have caused some of this, but I'm just telling you, there's so much competition in the church. If you are new here and you came from a different church, and I say new, in the last 5 years, you came from a different church. I said this again to the first service, and I asked them to raise hands, how many people came here, and I had the opportunity to talk to you, and you came from a different church, and several people raised their hand. And I said, this is what I always say. If somebody comes from another church and I get the opportunity to meet them early on before they've really gotten tied into the church and they say, listen, I feel like the Lord's leading me to my family to come here. This is what I always say to them without fail. You can ask anybody I've talked to. I say, are you certain this is the Lord's will? Are you sure this is the Lord's will? And then if they say, yes, I believe this is the Lord's will, then I say, okay, be sure it's the Lord's will. Pray about this. Make sure it's God's will for your life. This is what he wants you to do. The second thing is, if you're certain it's God's will, please go to your pastor and talk to him about this and do it the right way. Without fail. I make mistakes. I don't do everything right, but that's one thing I say I can do. I do all the time. Without fail. If I get the opportunity to talk with somebody. Now, if you came from another church and I didn't see you for the first 6 months, and you already left the church and you're tied in here, I'm not going to talk you out of it until you go back, you know what I mean? You've already done that, but the point is that if I have the opportunity, that's what I'm going to do. And even though I do all that, even though I do all that, without fail, there are pastors in this community who say, he's stealing our members. He keeps taking members from our church. I have not one time, and this is not trying to defend myself. I know this is on live stream. I know many people are watching, but this is I'm getting to a point here. Believe me, my feelings aren't hurt, okay? I'm good. Amen. My conscience is clear with God. I'm good, okay? Amen. So this is not about that, so don't go to the wrong place with this. I'm trying to make a point here. I've never once gone to someone outside this church or inside this church, gone to someone and said, you need to come to our church. Ever. The only people I've ever done that with is people that I know are unchurched, that don't have a church home, that don't go to church anywhere. And then I've said to them, hey, come to the river. Wouldn't you, right? But I've never gone to one person ever that I know is going to a church somewhere, ever. In fact, I always say to them, do you have a church home? And if they say, no, I don't, then I invite them. But it doesn't matter. The point is, there's such a spirit of competition, there's so much competition in the church, that even if you do things the right way, competition will crush unity. So that's why Jesus prayed, make them one, Father. Make them one. What does he mean by that? Does he mean that we all have to look the same? No. No, please, no. Right? Please, y'all can't all look as good as me. You can't have my boots. You can't have my boots. All right, I'll give you my boots. No, seriously, we have gotten to this point. I think something we all need to understand is we all need to get set free. We all need, I think the entire church needs a sozo. How many of you had a sozo? Anybody have a sozo? Wow, all right, woo! Okay, some of you are like, what's a sozo? Okay, sozo, it's actually pronounced sozo, but it's spelled S-O-Z-O. We have a ministry here called Sozo Ministry. What sozo is a Greek word meaning saved, healed, delivered. Jesus actually said it to people when he prayed for them. He said, you've been sozoed. You've been saved, healed, delivered. Okay? And so that's what that means. So what do you mean? We have to do something after we've been saved? Well, this is what it's about. We've all been conditioned in our life certain ways, right? We've been conditioned. And even though we've been set free, even though we've been forgiven of our sins, even though that work was completed on the cross, everything was completed on the cross, there are things that we have to allow the Lord to take out of us, to transform us by the renewing of our minds, to change our thinking. We need to allow him to cause us to think like him. Because if we all think like him, we all will be one. That doesn't mean we look the same. That's part of the competition. I remember when I was in school, I remember when I was younger, see, I wear the clothes I wear, the boots, the things like that, because I like them. Because I like the way they look. I like the way they feel. That's why I dress the way I dress, because this is what I like. You might like to wear a suit and a noose. I mean a necktie. Just kidding. You may want, seriously, I dressed like that for years when I was in business, and I don't want to dress that way. That's not how I'm comfortable. Ooh, I can feel it right now. Tensing up. What's he going to say? Dress how you want to dress. You want to wear a suit and a tie? Wear a suit and a tie. You want to wear a dress, ladies? You want to wear 9-inch heels? You go, if you can walk in those, you do it. Dress how you want to dress. But don't dress to impress people. Because that's where competition comes in. And I remember when I was in school, when I was younger, I felt the competition. I felt I had to dress to impress. I felt like I had to dress, you know what I'm saying? Anybody know what I'm talking about? And my parents couldn't afford, like, the clothes and the name brands and all that. Back then, I wore the name because I wanted to fit in. Back then, I wore the name because I wanted to look like everybody else. Back then, I wore the name because the competition was so much pressure on me. I don't even know. I don't really care about the name. I care about the feel. All right, Jesus, thank you. Yes, thank you. I didn't know you're getting all holy on me there. Jesus. Yes, I'm wearing Jesus. Inside and out. Okay, so back to the message now. So, but back then I wore the clothes for the brand name, but my parents couldn't afford them, so, you know, they bought shoes that, you know, a pair of sneakers that kind of looked like them, and then they took a Sharpie. Just kidding, they didn't really do that. They didn't really do that. They drew a Nike, that's what I was getting at. I wasn't going to name names, because we're not being paid for sponsorship here. But then I remember one time, you know, my mom, just being sweet mother, she was trying to help. You know, she couldn't afford back then it was Levi jeans. I don't know, you know, I grew up in the 80s, you know, 70s and 80s, and it was Levi jeans and Nike, white Nike leather tennis shoes and pink Izod shirt with the collar popped, you know what I'm saying? Like you wore three shirts, you know. And we couldn't afford the Levi's. And so I got like a pair of JC plain pocket jeans, you know what I mean? That's what they were called, actually literally called. I remember it was like left a scar on me for a while. This is what I'm talking about. That's why we need Sozos. And I remember my mom being sweet, and she somehow got a Levi's tag, and she sewed a Levi's tag on the pocket. Isn't that sweet? My mama's here, right here today, right back there, and she did that. Okay, and I'm telling you that story because I need to tell you another story. So I had to tell you the sweet one first, right? That was sweet. But I also remember a time when we couldn't afford the clothes, and I got hand-me-downs. Well, it's really bad when you get hand-me-downs when your older sibling is a girl. Sozo, 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 right? I literally dealt with this in my sozo. So I remember one time I had to wear my sister's jeans to school. And that would be okay, but they were purple. And they were bedazzled on the back pockets. And I'm going to tell you something, man. They can be brutal in the third grade. Brutal. That was a rough day for Billy Wall, all right? Rough. Why? Because it was all about competition. It was all about measuring up in their eyes and looking like everybody else. And if you weren't, you weren't the cool kid. And you had to deal with all that. Man, I had to beat up three kids that day. My mom's just back there shaking her head. She's like, you beat up three kids every day. Competition. So I felt like I had to fit in. And so I was conditioned. You were conditioned. This is one of many things. There's so many others that go so much deeper. I shared this with someone before, and I'm going to share it with you again because somebody needs to hear this today in this place. And this is why I just went off base a little bit to this, okay? When I was a child, I was molested by an uncle. And again, we need inner healing. When I got saved, Jesus took every sin away. But see, the enemy lied to me during that time in my life, and he built these strongholds in my life off of those lies. See, the enemy, he operates through wounds or perceived wounds. And what he does is he lies to us in the midst of those wounds or perceived wounds. And he says to us, that was your fault. As a little 8-year-old boy, he said, that was your fault. You caused this to happen. You can't tell your parents about it because they'll want to get rid of you. Those are the lies that the enemy tells to you, and he builds up these strongholds of lies in your life. And even though you get set free from your sins, even though that's all taken away when you come to Christ, there's still these wounds, there's still these strongholds in your life, and you need to go allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you that it wasn't your fault, and you're not a throwaway, and you weren't broken, and you didn't cause this to happen, and those were lies from the enemy, and that's the root of all these other things that happened in your life. Because listen, y'all, some of y'all are carrying some stuff in your life right now. You're carrying some things, and you're a Christian, and you're saved, and you love God, but you just can't get over the hump of these thoughts. You just can't get over the hump of maybe the spirit of competition. You just can't get over the hump of this trust issue that you have. And you don't understand why. Why can't I trust people? Why can't I trust Father God? I really want to give him more. I really want to give people more. I really want to trust them with my heart, but I don't understand why I can't. Well, usually what we do is we deal with the symptoms instead of dealing with the root. We just treat the symptoms. My symptoms showed up later in my teenage years in alcoholism and drug addiction and sexual promiscuity and perversion and all those things. That's my symptoms that showed up. But that wasn't the root of the problem. The root of the problem was the molestation, where the enemy lied to me. And I had to get to the root. And I believe in the church today, there's a root that's causing the division, that's causing us not to operate like the Spirit of God wants us to operate. And that root goes back years in this community. I don't know where that root is, but it goes back years, and it's developed in these symptoms of competition where we think we have to compete with each other. Y'all, I'm glad we have had 500 soul saves, but here at the River, it's not about numbers. It's about people getting right with God, getting their hearts free, and allowing the Holy Spirit to do what he desires to do in them so that they can grow up mature in the Lord. Amen? That's it. I don't care if we have 10 people and they're growing in the Lord. That's all I care about. That's it. I mean, we're building a new sanctuary, and that's great, so we can have room. But really, we're building a new sanctuary so we just don't have to, we can just have one service and have the body together. I can keep going. We can do 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 20 services. I don't care. Because my job here on earth, my purpose here is to spend my life for God. For his vision, his mission for me. But listen, I'm telling you, the church could do everything the church needed to do if we would just get rid of the spirit of competition. And the only way to do that is to come together and be one. And the only thing that's going to bring us together is to be in one mind. We're one body, right? We're one body. Let me give you a couple scriptures here. So Jesus prayed that we would be one in agreement, in unity, okay? A couple scriptures here. Romans 12, 4 and 5 says, in the human body, there are many parts and organs, each with a unique function, and so it is with the body of Christ. So though we are many, we've all been mingled into one body in Christ. This means that we are all vitally joined to one another, with each contributing to the others. We are one body, but can I just give you this? We're one body, but it only talks about the church as a body. There's only one head, and that's Christ. That's Jesus. That's the Trinity. That's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The reason there's no competition in heaven is because they don't argue with each other. They support one another fully. They don't backbite each other. Holy Spirit doesn't go over to Jesus and go, you know, God just hasn't, he just hadn't been acting. I don't feel like he really pays attention to me. I don't feel, you know what I'm saying? I feel like I could do more in this Trinity than I'm doing, you know. But if he would just pay more attention, if he would just give me, you know, the accolades that I'm due. I mean, look at all the work I'm doing on the earth. Look what I do. I mean, I'm constantly pouring out into everybody, and they're constantly asking me to pour out, and I pour out, and look what I'm doing, and why doesn't God recognize me more? You don't hear that from Holy Spirit. fake news. But in the body of Christ, you hear it all the time. Yeah. Well, why didn't the pastor say hello to me? Really? Again, please, I'm not making fun of this, but this sozo. The reason you need me to say hello to you every time I see you is because there's something inside that needs to be healed. Come on, y'all. Please get a hold of this. Please get a hold of this. And I needed it too. When I was broken, when I had all those that root that was causing all these symptoms, I needed it too. But man, once I got free from that, once I realized none of that was my fault and I was set free from all that, you wouldn't believe the changes in my life. I was a person who looked confident on the outside, but I was compensating for the lack of confidence and the low self-esteem that I had on the inside. Because I thought I was worthless. Because the enemy lied to an 8-year-old boy. And he built strongholds upon those lies. And I was broken on the inside. Even though Jesus saved me, I still had all this brokenness. And when I got free from that, when I went through sozo, when I went through inner healing, and the Holy Spirit revealed to me, Bill, that wasn't your fault. You did nothing wrong. And here's how the enemy operates, and here's what he did. I just got free. And now I love myself. It's okay to love yourself. You should love yourself. If you don't love yourself, then what are you saying about your Creator? He made you. And He didn't make you, Scott, He didn't make you to look like everybody else. I know you know that because I like that beard, man. That's just out there, man. Love it. He didn't make you to look like everybody else. He didn't make you to be like everybody else. You don't have to dress like everybody else. You don't have to talk like everybody else. You don't have to walk like everybody else. You don't have to look like everybody else. You don't have to do church like everybody else. And that's where the competition comes in. Why do we feel like we have the right to criticize another church because they have a different style than we do? We don't have a right. That's who God created them to be. That's who He created their leader to be. That's the gifts that God gave them to flow in. And we're going to do church like God created us to do church right here. I'm an apostle. This is my style. This is what we love. But I also know God gave us a certain amount of people to reach. And we're going to reach people in this Blue Water community because that's what God gave us. Let's get rid of the competition. Let's crush it. Unity crushes competition. But if we will understand that if we would become one, we can accomplish anything that we set our minds to. Listen, this is how powerful unity is. Without God, unity is amazingly powerful. You can actually accomplish anything, you know, that you set your minds to. Listen, I'll give you an example because you guys are all looking at me like, boy, he's crazy. He's going off the deep end now. But I'm going to give you one example from the Word of God. I can't give you all of them. I'm going to give you one example. Tower of Babel. Tower of Babel. God was not in that. He was not for that. How do we know? Because He said, perfect, another example of the unity, He said, let us go down and confuse their language. Who's He talking to? Son and Holy Spirit. He said, let us go down and confuse their language. And so when He said that, they went down, they confused their language. Why? He said, let us go down and confuse their language because if we don't, they can do anything they set their minds to. Now, let me just ask you this because this is crazy. I thought about this. They were trying to build a tower to get to God. How high do you think the tower needs to be to reach God? Any calculations, any mathematicians in this place this morning? Like how high? I can't even fathom. I could just say really high, really, really high. They're trying to build a tower to get to God. God says if we don't go confuse their language, they'll accomplish it. Why? Why? This is the key. because they're in complete unity. They're one. Imagine what we could do if we were in complete unity with the power of Holy Spirit. No limits. Nothing. I mean, God just blow our minds. He would blow our minds. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13 says, just as the human body is one, though it has many parts that together form one body, so too is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all immersed and mingled into one single body. And no matter our status, whether we are Jews or non-Jews, oppressed or free, we are all privileged to drink deeply from the same Holy Spirit. We are all privileged to drink deeply from the same Holy Spirit. If we will allow Holy Spirit to speak to us and lead us, we will become one in mind. We will become one in unity, and we can accomplish anything that the Spirit sets us out to do. Anything. Wherever He tells us to go, whatever He tells us to do. But see, we're one body. We have to listen to the same Spirit. There are other spirits out there you can listen to. But are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Pastor, how do I know? How do I know that I'm listening? This is the number one question I get as a pastor from people in counseling is, how do I hear the voice of God? And so usually this is what I tell them, because I could sit down and tell you how I know to hear the voice of God, and you know how what they're wanting to know is that voice His, or is this voice His, or you know, and I can't, that's too hard to distinguish because I don't know exactly. We'd have to go into conversations and all that. But here's the one thing I tell them. Here's how you know the voice of God. Read the Word of God.
Yes.
Read the Word.
Yes.
Read the Word of God. His Word will tell you what His will is. And if you know the Word, then when you hear a voice, then you go, does this line up with the Word of God? The first thing. It's just, and the more you know the Word, the more you know. Right? You hear the voice and you go, that's not the voice of God. Anybody experience that? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
No. That's not the voice of God, because that's not in His Word. That doesn't line up with His Word, so it can't be His voice. And the more you do that, the more you condition yourself to know. This is how you get transformed, by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is renewed by His Word, and so your life is transformed. And then when the Lord speaks to you, you know exactly what He's saying. There's no doubts. Well, I'll get this job if it's the Lord's will. Well, did the Lord go tell you to put an application in at that job? Did He? Did the Lord tell you to go on that interview? Did He? Don't make any mistake about this. Holy Spirit's speaking to you all the time. All the time. Well, He didn't care about that little job, y'all. He cares. He cares about everything in your life, every detail, every detail. He knows exactly what He's called you to do. He knows. There's no doubt with Him. There's no confusion with Him. He's speaking to you. But are you open to listening and hearing His voice? Because if we don't hear the Spirit of God as the body of Christ, then we got one leg going in this direction and the other leg going in this direction. And how many know that doesn't work out too well? The body looks dysfunctional when we're not in unity. And then the world looks at the body of Christ, they look at the church and they go, I don't want to go there. You guys look crazy, you look dysfunctional. Not crazy because, wait, listen, here's the thing. If we were in complete unity, then we could be literally holy rollers rolling all over the floor and it wouldn't matter. People would be drawn because it's the Spirit of God that draws them. The truth. I'm not saying we should all roll all over the floor, okay? What is the Spirit telling you to do? What is He leading you to do? But the point is this. People aren't looking at the church going, I don't want to go there because they're a little too wild, they're a little too crazy. People are saying, I don't want to go there because they're not one. They're not actually saying those words, but that's what they're seeing. I can get all that biting and devouring and backbiting in the world. Why would I go to the church to get it? I got enough competition on my job. Why do I need to go to the church to get competition? Holy Spirit wants to make us one. Jesus prayed, make them one. Make them one so that they'll work together. And no matter our status, whether we are Jews or non-Jews, oppressed or free, we are all privileged to drink deeply of the same Holy Spirit. So let me ask you this today. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Everybody close your eyes for a moment. Let me ask you this today. Do you desire the spirit of unity? You desire that? Do you understand that there might be things in your life, might be lies there, there might be strongholds, barriers there that are keeping you from unity because the enemy has lied to you, told you you have to measure up, you have to compete, you have to look the part, you have to be on, put on a show, you have to work for people's attention, you have to work for success. I'll tell you something, just listen to the Holy Spirit right now, but let me tell you something, you don't have to strive. There's some people in this place this morning, right, in this service right here, I feel it so strongly. You've been striving so hard. Jesus is saying to you, I did it all. I accomplished it all. I just want you to be you. I just want you to be who I created you to be. Quit working so hard to impress people. Quit striving so hard to measure up. Just be who I created you to be. If you'll just do that and listen to my voice, I can accomplish great things through you and through my church. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are in unity. They're in agreement in this, as they are with everything. Okay, I want you all to stand, and then we're going to pray a final prayer together. Whatever Holy Spirit spoke to you this morning, whatever He said to you, I want you to act upon it. Act upon it. Well, this final prayer, this is what I want you to do. I want you to join hands across the aisles. Everybody join hands. We're going to be one physically here. Be one. Join hands across the aisles. If you can't, grab the hand of the person behind you on the end of the aisle so we can just join all the way around. Keep a little chain going there. Okay, y'all pray with me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you today. Father, make us one. Father, crush the spirit of disunity in this body and in our area. Father, make our churches one. One mind. One accord, one spirit. Work in us, Father. Heal us, Father. Heal our land. Heal the Blue Water area. Use us, Father, to walk in unity, to walk as one, to crush the enemy and take back what he's stolen from us. In Jesus' name, we trust in you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.